I kind of took a little bit different approach, taking the struggles that we deal with as moms. She told me to talk about myself and my family, and I don't like talking about myself. I talk about my family all day long. The things we have, the trouble we get into, the fun things we can get to do together as a family of seven, to them with children. So I kind of took a different approach and focus on the positive things that work. I'm sorry. Let me get this. Okay, how's that? Me and my Minnie Mouse voice. Okay. So I kind of took a different approach to kind of help young moms, older moms, one of these days going to be moms, grandmoms, aunts, whatever. And you can incorporate a lot of these things even with just children that you watch possibly, that you have in your home at some time or another. So I'm hoping this will encourage all of you that are just... I'll get this right. It is not... Well, this is just me. This is user error. Right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. The most... I didn't do nothing that time. I'll just hold it. How's that? Let me hold it. Okay. I'll hold it. And it's going in and out. All right. We'll try. That was... So it wasn't me. Oh, there we go. So. Just like this. Turn it this way. Ooh, okay. Oh, I don't care. Whatever you gotta do. Hang it from my nose.
Excuse
like a
us
nose.
From getting a little personal. All this lace in here.
I can hang it from my nose.
That works.
That's okay. I'll just hold it. And so hopefully I can like this. So this is going to be awkward. So bear with me if I look like a reporter. One of the most important things that we can do in the world is teach our children. It starts in the home. But why is it so important for us ladies to teach our children? We're going to begin in Deuteronomy, chapter 11, 1 through 7. I'm not going to read it. I just want to kind of paraphrase it. In this verse here, in these verses, it's talking to the parents, the adults who have known the knowledge of God and what he has done for them. In verse 8, we'll continue through verse 8, the adults are told to keep every commandment God had given them. We'll drop down to verse 18. He is talking to the parents that they shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now here's my favorite verse, verse 19. You shall teach your children, speaking of them when you sit in your houses, when you walk by, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Every part of your child's day, every aspect of their day, you are to be teaching and training your children. Very important. They are commanded to teach them to their children, not every once in a while, not at one set time, but throughout the day and even as they lie down at night. But why? We find out in verse 22 through 23, we see if they keep all these commandments, they would receive the blessings of God that he had promised to them. In Genesis 18, another wonderful example is Abraham. Abraham commanded his children and all his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. We are to teach our children. We find in Titus 2, 4 through 5, older women, we are to teach the younger women to what? To love their children, to love their husbands. It doesn't always come naturally to some women to love their children. And that's hard for some of us to fathom, but we are to teach and train the younger to love their husbands and love their children. We are to teach them as mothers in the home, but where does it start? Where does the teaching start? How do we, in today's society, as mothers, teach our children? When I was given this topic, I was asked to talk about ways that Ronnie and I taught our seven children throughout the years. Granted, we made our share of mistakes, and we are not perfect. But we do love God, and we love those precious souls that were entrusted to us for such a short period of time. And I hope this will encourage all of you today to, even for a small part of the day, learn some ways to teach your children. Does that sound better? Okay. Teaching our children, when does it begin? Does it begin when they're born? Does it begin when they start crawling, when they start reaching for things, when they start talking? No, it actually starts way before they're even thought of, before they're even conceived. When two people fall in love and make a vow to each other and to God to start a family, that's when the training starts. You are laying a foundation that you are building for your children when this family starts with two people. God from the beginning instituted the relationship between man and wife. We are created to be his helpmeet. We are to be in righteous submission towards our husbands and to respect his God-given role as head of the home. And he, as our husbands, are to love us as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In Ephesians 5, 24 through 25, this principle laid out for us. In 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7, we see that again for us to submit and respect our husbands and for him to love and honor us as wives. If we don't have that kind of marriage God wants us to have, we need to work on that, accomplishing that goal, and set our children on the right foundation for life. And now, and start doing that today where you are. Start where you are and read the Bible together and get that marriage right for your children if you have children now. So you can always start afresh. I am so, there we go again. Let me have that as backup. Let me try that one. Oh, wow. I really do feel like a reporter. Okay. Okay. So, we are blessed by God and we're able to grow our family through children. The first lessons that you can teach them is a godly marriage, love and respect for one another, and love and respect for God's word. Our children see us and how, as husband and wife, we react to each other and interact. We always said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, when our children were little. And this is the beginning of respect and manners for your children. It may sound silly when they're little bitty that you're saying yes, sir, to your husband, and he's saying yes, ma'am, to you as the mother. But they're hearing that, and they're listening, and they're planting that little seed in their heart to grow later to learn respect for authority. I never talked bad about my husband. I learned a long time ago from a wonderful elderly lady, never put your husband down in front of your children, in front of people in public. It demeans his authority and it undermines his role as head of the home. And your children are listening. You may think they're over there in the corner playing. And I have learned this real quick with seven children. Don't say anything you don't want repeated, and repeated loudly and in a big group. So they are listening. So talk respectfully and lovingly and positive about your husband. Even to this day, I try not to, you know, ever be disrespectful to my husband. Even my kids are mostly grown. It does not lift him up in his is a right authority, and your children need that. They need to know and respect authority. This gave them someone that was real, that they knew, that they could look up to and imitate and admire and respect. When you are respectful to your husband, this shows the children that they need to be respectful to the authority that's before them. As parents, we are the first entryway to authority to God. So we have to be sure that we set that foundation from the very beginning. Little boys, they will watch you and your husband interact, and they will want to imitate them. So many times, we have three boys and four girls, and so many times my little boys would walk across the floor behind their daddy, and they would walk just the same. They would want to wear his hats or his shoes. They want to be like their daddy. So we want to make sure in their eyes that this godly man is elevated in their eyes so they would want to imitate him. That's why it's so important you choose who you marry. I'm talking to the single ladies now just for a few minutes. I've told all my kids, it's so important who you choose to marry. It will make a difference spiritually in your life and unborn children that's coming into your life one of these days. Or by other means, you may adopt. But whoever you choose is going to have an impact on you physically, mentally, emotionally, and especially spiritually. So you may think, I don't want to think about those things now. You're 13, 14, 15. You better start because it's going to happen. And you better purpose in your heart to do what is right for you spiritually and for your future children. You get to choose their daddy. They don't. And so when you make an impact on their lives spiritually by not choosing somebody that is good, it will have lasting effects. As the Surface family, like I said, it's kind of hard for me to talk, but I'm using me as an example because I've personally been through it. But when our children were little, we always emphasized reputation. Have a good reputation. Keep your name good. It takes years to build a reputation, and it takes seconds to destroy it. Ronnie's daddy is known throughout his community of a man of integrity, of honesty and faithfulness to God and to his family, and he was an elder. And so the Surface name to him had been built for years and years of being a man of his word. So when we had children, we always, we didn't elevate him where he was not perfect or anything, but we just said, you have a good name, be mindful of that, which led into, as they got older, one of these days you're going to put on Christ and wear his name. So do everything you possibly can to walk in the light and not mar the Christian name. So you're building foundations from little things that lead always into spiritual things. So you're building these blocks, and it may sound silly, or it may sound, why does that matter? But you're planting these little seeds. You're a gardener. And it starts with the husband, the wife, and the family. But then they get used to these concepts. And it's very easy to lead them in a spiritual concept. So that's what you want. As you're raising your children, everything is to glorify God, live for him, bring glory and honor to his name, and to teach others. That is the whole concept throughout all these little helps or whatever. Trying to keep it positive. So as these teachings always go back to God and glorifying him, children learn these smaller concepts, and when they're introduced to larger ones, it's so much easier for them to understand and to get. As I was getting my lesson together, BJ asked me this. I thought, I'm going to ask kids, my ones that are out of my house, what they remember growing up. I thought I could be good or could be bad. And so I asked each one of them, and they really kind of surprised me what they remembered most. And I wasn't expecting some of the answers. So one of my sons, the main thing he remembered, besides just a lot of the spiritual Bible study and everything, was how we taught him respect and a good work ethic. Do what you mean, what you say, and how Ronnie and I treated each other. How we talk to each other. So many families talk hateful to each other. In TV shows, they make the daddy look like an idiot and the mom, don't care about her kids. And so that's what our children are learning from, and they see this. And so he remembers how we were always, tried to talk. Like I said, we're not perfect. We made mistakes, had to make apologies. We're human, but he just remembered that stuck out to his head. We taught respect to each other and to the children. They're children, but you still want to show respect to them too. They have to be disciplined, they have to be taught, but you can also incorporate respect with your children, and in return, they'll grow to have respect for you. So many times we'll be at the store, and we'll have a complete stranger talk to us, and my daughters can attest to that. We have everybody come up to us, and you talk so nicely and patiently, but you get home and you give what's left over to your family, to your husband, and that's not right. He doesn't deserve that, and God doesn't want that. And our children, again, are listening and learning and imitating. One of my other sons, like I said, I had three. And this is, like I said, I don't really want to talk about myself, but this is something I've always did when I was first married. When Ronnie would come home, I would greet him at the door because I was genuinely happy to see my husband. I wanted to go give him a hug and ask him how his day was. And my youngest son, he said, "I always remember you going to the door." And I didn't even know he, you know, of course they noticed everything. You know, he may be in his room, but he could hear me go to the door and say hi. He said that always made an impression on him on how marriage was. And I said, well, you know, I didn't even realize he was paying attention. You know, he was usually outside banging his head against a tree or climbing a tree or whatever, literally. So I didn't even realize he noticed that. But that was the one thing that really stuck out. I thought, wow, I would have never picked that. And I still do that today. And sometimes when the girls, we race to see who can get to daddy first. And so this teaches a very good impression of marriage. You'd be happy to see your husband. How many times does your husband walk the door and like, "Hey, how was your day?" You know, like he's, you know, around him. It's very important that we show our children that we enjoy being married, that we love our husband, that we thoroughly enjoy his company and him ours. It helps the young girls know how to be a good wife, how to appreciate her husband. It teaches the boys the atmosphere they want to grow up in. So all these little things that you may think that I thought were just something that I did can make an impact. You can do it. Anybody can do it. Just, you know, be excited to be married because it is wonderful. God instituted it. It is wonderful. It's a good thing. We need to be as wives and mothers, examine our attitudes. And I do this all the time. I can write a whole book of what I need to work on, or encyclopedia set, actually, of what I need to work on. But we need to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, are we having the proper attitude toward our husbands? Are we being, you know, excited to see him and loving and kind? So our children are the biggest imitators that we can ever face. And they are very brutal when they point things out to us. They can see it for what it is. As mothers and wives, we talked about an attitude toward our husbands, but what about our attitude toward our children? In Psalm 127, 3 through 5, I love this verse. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." We have our quiver full of our children, whether it's 1 or 21. It should make us happy. Do we enjoy being with our children? Or is it misery, drudgery, an inconvenience, a bothersome? Years ago, when I lived in Tennessee, I was a young mom. We all struggled with being exhausted, tired, feel like we're not doing enough, feel like we should be doing more, feel like we're failing. All these feelings that come with the newness of being a mom and handling and juggling everything. And I had an opportunity to get with a bunch of Christian mothers. Some of them had older children. I thought, this is a great opportunity for me to learn and to get encouragement and get advice and just learn from their experiences. And the conversation was going good, and then it started turning bad. A lot of the moms were just talking negative about their children and, you know, not being pleasant about their attitude toward them. But one mother stood out to me more than any of them. She looked at the women and she said, "I cannot stand to be around my children all day." And I about fell on the floor. And here I was, you know, young mother, very insecure anyway, you know, in my motherhood, I'm thinking, why did you even have them anyway? You know, and she was very serious. She was a workaholic. She didn't, you know, it was very evident the way she talked. She was not around her children. And it is just, it blew my mind. But it also helped me learn a valuable lesson. How to view your children in the right, godly way. They are a blessing, a heritage from God. And so from that day on, I really tried to focus on my children and their positive traits. Look at your children and look at them as a joy. You're going to have your trials. They're going to be cranky. They're going to be sick. You're not going to be feeling well. You'll have your sick days. But try to look at it as best you can that these days are short. And they're going to be gone before you know it. And so as we need to really focus on how we view our children. We're teaching our children about Christianity, about Christ, the church, a God's love, how to walk in his light. And if we have the wrong attitude, or we put down the very role that God created for us, motherhood, how are they going to ever appreciate His word and the role that they may someday have? Raising seven different children, I've gained a lot of insight as far as the uniqueness of children. Their different personalities, their very own person, not two are exactly alike. And you have to understand, when you're raising these children, you have to take your children and not mold them into a mini you, but let them grow as who they are and concentrate on the gifts God has given them, and to teach them and train them where they can use those to bring glory to God. I had one child, I will not say who it was, that was extremely bossy when they were little, and very stubborn. I don't know where they got the stubbornness from, but they were very bossy and very stubborn. I'm thinking, okay, and learning from this lady that I had heard, I thought, okay, how can I take this personality trait and turn it into a positive trait? So I got to thinking, okay, bossy, what does bossy mean? It can be turned into good leadership, good leading. You have followers and leaders. So that personality of that child, she's very bossy. Well, she's very bossy now. That cuts it out for that. There's four of them. Sorry, girls. I'm not talking about you. She was very bossy. I mean, anyway, she tried my patience. But anyway, I thought, well, I can turn that bossiness into leadership. And today she's a phenomenal leader in the home as far as the way God put her there, you know, teaching her children. She's done ladies' days, teacher. She encourages other ladies. So the bossiness was turned into something positive. So as a mother, believe me, it was very hard some days. I had to really dig deep to think, okay, I can turn this into something good. And it helps because we're training. That's our job. That is our responsibility. That is a privilege we have. We had to train them and train the qualities they were given. And as child traits that are not so positive, we can look at them and say, okay, the stubbornness, what can that be? Okay, that can be something that is steadfastness in the long run, unmovable, you know, for the truth. You know, once she gets in there and she understands the truth, she's not moving, she's stubborn, but it's steadfastness, not giving up. So when you start thinking of it that way, it helps so much. The pressures of motherhood, the stresses, because you're thinking, okay, I have a goal, I have a purpose, it's a godly purpose. If I put it in that focus, whenever she is being bossy and telling her brother everything on the sun, you can say, okay, hon, you know, you can kind of take a deep breath and go from there, and it turns into something positive as she matures and grows and becomes a Christian and becomes an adult woman. And so it's very helpful. At least that's what helped my mind, because dealing with a stubborn child and the bossy one is very hard, but you can take it and turn it into something that's positive and productive for God. Another thing I want y'all to think about is one of the great things about motherhood, and I don't think people realize this as they say it. What we tell our children who they are, that's what they will believe and strive to become. All right, I want y'all to listen to that one more time. What we tell our children who they are, that's what they will believe and strive to become. If we talk about our children as brats, or call them dumb or stupid, or I've heard people in the grocery store call their children just all kinds of things, or, you know, tell them, you're just getting on my nerves, you're in my way, I don't want to be around you. Those are hurtful words, but words make impressions, and they are planted in our hearts of our children. And that's what they will grow to be. If that's what they believe you think, they will grow to be that. But flip it around. You tell them they're kind, they're sweet, they're smart, they're a good helper, they're a good Bible student, they have a servant's heart. Guess what? They're going to work harder to be that, to become that. So you're putting them on a path of looking to the good and the positive that God has provided for us, and to work toward that goal, and it'll be a lot easier. So many times our teenagers get bad raps because so many teenagers have bad attitudes or just don't, I mean, just crazy. I know hormones are involved and all that, but a lot of it has come back to the point of, y'all are just a mess. Y'all are just driving me crazy. Well, guess what? They're going to drive you crazy. You say, I'm going to drive you crazy. Oh, I'm going to up it up a notch, and we're going to go all the way. But if you tell them they're kind, you're such a good helper, have them help serve others, they're going to have that mentality, and they're going to believe that about themselves. If somebody told you something over and over again for years, for 18 years, wouldn't you start believing it? They sure do, because they're your mama. You're their mama. So we have to be super careful. Our words have impact. Our words have meaning, and they make a difference. To teach your children, you as mothers have to raise your children. Now I may get some flack on this, but in today's society, so many moms work, but it's not wrong to work unless you neglect your role as a mother. A lot of moms work. The lady in Proverbs sewed, and she did work, but when you neglect your children over that, you put that above your children, that job or that career, that's when you get into trouble. Because there's a lot of times women have to work, but they take care of their families. That's not what I'm talking about. Whenever you work and you neglect your role as a mother, your first and most important responsibility is those souls that God has given you in raising your children. If we continually drop them off to strangers that you have no idea what their moral standards are, and they're not godly people, or even they're godly people, you just don't know who they may be around. Don't be surprised when your children start looking like those people and adopting their ways and their morals. We have got to raise our children in this world. It's so important, more now than ever. We could lose them to this world. I've never heard of an elderly person. I love going and seeing elderly people. They are phenomenal. They are a wealth of knowledge. And if you take the time to listen to elderly people who have lived it, you will learn a lot. And I used to sit with a lady at Buda, and you probably know her. She was a funny lady. She kept me on my toes. But I learned a lot from her. I have never heard an elderly person complain about spending too much time with their children when they were little. I've never heard them complain that they taught them and raised them. But I have heard them say, I wish I could go back in time. I would change the way I raised my children. I would spend more time. I would listen more. I would play more. I would enjoy my children more. So as young moms, let's not make that mistake and have regrets about not raising your children. The days are long and the years are short. We have a very small window to raise our babies and teach them to face the world. Let's not let it slip through our hands. To teach your children, you have to know your children. To know their personalities, their strengths, their weaknesses, their fears, their likes, their dislikes, their triumphs, their losses, their hobbies, their heartaches. We have to really want to build that relationship and to understand them. That means you have to want to spend time with them and actually enjoy it. They will know the difference if you're just trying to kill time. By knowing your children, you'll be able to answer the harder questions that come along for spiritual growth and knowledge. When you build a bond with your child and they're hurting or they're confused, they will come to you. They will ask you questions. We have to make the sacrifices as mothers. As mothers, we will make sacrifices for our children. We'll sacrifice sleep. We'll sacrifice the well-planned trip due to sickness. We'll sacrifice our time and energy and even our bodies. Our bodies change when we have children. We make sacrifices for the ones we love. Whenever you decide to get married and you have children, make those conversations with your husband beforehand. Before you have children, what are we going to do? Are we going to make sacrifices so that can stay home with our children? You know, you may have to drive one car, not two. Maybe not be convenient, but you work it out. You may not be able to do this or that, but it all boils down to making those sacrifices work so your children can have the faith they need to live in eternity with you. Whenever our kids were young, one thing that I did, and I've talked to other moms that do the same thing, whatever my child was interested in, like a hobby or a sports or catching spiders, I have three boys, and I've done that before. It's not fun. whatever they were interested in at the time, I would try to get interested in it too. Like, for instance, one of my boys liked this certain cartoon, you know, on his downtime. He had, you know, we wonder what they watched, but it had all these crazy characters. Well, guess who learned all the characters' names and what they did? I couldn't tell you now, but, so whenever he would talk about it, be excited about it, I said, oh yeah, you remember this one? He said, oh, I said, yeah, that was the one that he said, you know that? I was like, well, yeah. So get involved in their life in every aspect when they're little. And my girls, we were sewing and having fun, you know, and enjoy it. You know, it may not be the thing you would do for yourself, but you're being involved in your children's lives. You're building a connection. You're building that relationship. So when it comes down to the hard stuff and the spiritual stuff, the questions they may be, you know, asking you, they're going to have that connection. They're going to come to you. They're not going to be afraid to ask you these things. My daughters, we have road trips going to see my grandbabies, and we have music. And I make them listen to mine because I'm the driver. But now that there's two of them that are driving, I have to be nice and share, which I taught them sharing, which comes back to haunt you sometimes. I have to listen to their music. So it's not all bad as far as just the sound. But some of it is very interesting. Oh, you know, we make sure it's clean and everything. But I put up with some of it, and they put up with mine. So but it builds a relationship because I can talk to them about certain things and certain music or whatever it may be. Hunting bugs, you know. I remember one of my sons found a black widow, and guess who caught it? Yeah, I'm dumb. But he was just interested in bugs at the time, so we put it in a glass jar, and he observed the bug. So get involved in your children's lives, and then they will let you be a part of the bigger part when they start having questions and concerns. Today, social media is such a big thing, even for babies. You know, I've seen moms in the grocery store have a big iPad, and if you do that, I'm not trying to be offensive, but a baby can barely sit up and they're watching YouTube videos, you know, and it just like, it's a pet peeve for me, like interact with your children, you know. I know it's stressful, but we made it before that. Interact with your children. Listen to them. If you keep your face in the phone or their face in the phone, they're going to lose so many connective moments, and you can't get them back. Let kids be bored. I've had my girls say, I'm so bored. Well, go do something. I don't know. What? I don't know. I don't care. Go outside. Create. You know, get dirty. You know, whatever. Go paint. I don't care. When they're bored, they become creative. Come up with some of the best ideas. So it's okay to say no. It's okay to tell them no. You just go outside and do. But be careful what they see, hear, and watch on these social media. There's a little song I used to sing to my kids. They're little, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Hands, what you do, and feet, where you go. It's a very simple children's song, but it has a major, major lesson for us as parents. We have to be careful what they see. Singing songs to children at home, Bible songs. I see two of my favorite ladies back here, Miss April and Miss Tia. I've known them for years and years and years. They have wonderful, wonderful material that we actually used. The songs they had in the car, I'd play it. Back then it was cassette tapes. Now it's not. Tells you how old I am. All these wonderful tools that are using, take advantage of them. You want to saturate your child's world with one or two things, godly things or worldly things. That's the only two options. It's out there. It's in front of us. It's everywhere we go. It's on billboards. It's TV, music, stores. We have to fight against the enemy for our children's souls. He's constantly trying to have an avenue to get to them, and we have to fight back twice as hard. So use everything that you can that's afforded to us through materials and be involved with your children. I used Engraven Heavenly Truth cards. I don't know if y'all remember that or heard of that. I still remember things like obscure from that when my 30-year-old was 5 years old. And we used to go over that every day, and we'd do facts and we'd do memorization. And now I'll get calls from my grandbabies. They're 4 and 2. And they'll say, honey, honey. That's my grandma name, honey. Honey, honey, guess what I learned today? And they'll be so excited. They'll repeat a scripture or something off a card. And then my 2-year-old grandson, he'll say, honey, honey. I call him my little boogie boogie. And Joy's my peanut. and they'll go off and start doing whatever, and I just get so excited, and I you know, over-exaggerate my excitedness because it's a child, and they're so excited to tell me. And we want to keep that enthusiasm going to their adults, because somewhere along the way, maybe we let it drop, the enthusiasm. We get kind of busy, and they drop it too. But we want to keep that enthusiasm of learning and growing and nurturing that love for God's Word, that love for learning, and keep it going. And so I get excited for them, and they get excited to tell me and Papa. They'll call me first, and they'll call Papa next, and I can hear them in the next room telling Papa, saying it over and over again, you know. And it's amazing. It's wonderful. Bring the Word of God to life, these little ones. Take them outside. Talk about how God made the birds sing. I used to take my girls out and say, look at this. I love looking at skies, the sunsets, the pinks, the purples, the blues, whatever's in there. And I'd say, look at the sky, girls. And they may not remember this, but I did. And I say, how beautiful God made it. As I said, it's a beautiful artwork. Just bring it to life to them. Talk about the trees and how magnificent God made the trees and the roots so strong that they withstand storms. And then bring in how our roots need to be implanted in God's Word. You can connect so many things throughout the day. It doesn't have to be a set Bible time. That's good too. Don't get me wrong. We have, but it's a lifestyle. It's an intricate part. It's just the way you live. It's everything you do. In the car, my girls can't escape me on our little 4 or 5 hour road trip. So we have good discussions. And they'll say, Mama. So, you know, I can talk to them about some sensitive things. You know, they need to know as women, as being, you know, as they grow up and start looking for, you know, young men. We can talk about those things, and they can't run away. You know, in the car, it's great. I'm just kidding. There's opportunities. You have to create opportunities for your children. They need it. There's going to be opportunities created. It may be by the world, so we need to be 2 steps, 3 steps, 10 steps ahead of the world and make these things happen for our children. We exposed our children, I know a lot of families do, to all kinds of spiritual things. Get them to gospel meetings. Get them to lectureships. Get them to devos. Get them to spring retreats, winter retreats, summer youth series, Bible camps, door knockings, anything that is available in your community that is sound and good, take them and take them together as a family. Most of our vacations as a family of 7 was Ronnie's gospel meetings. We'd all go to a cabin, or the kids loved staying in a hotel because that was something new and different, and they were just fascinated with it. And so we would take them with us and expose them to good godly teachings and good godly men and good godly women when it was ladies' days. And they interacted with these people, and they listened to them, and they listened to the conversions. They listened to the trials, these people. We sat at their table. We had them in our home. We had, I don't know how many preachers, when they were at congregations, we would have gospel meetings. We would have them in our home if they wanted to stay. And our children heard so many spiritual giants speak of their, you know, wonderful Bible teach. You know, they would do Bible lessons and have conversions. They would talk about, we had one family, bless their heart, from, I think, Singapore. We were in Tennessee, and I fenced them a good Tennessee Southern meal. Wrong thing to do. But I had rice, and I had some other things for them, but they didn't even know. So culturally, you know, they realized, hey, there's Christians on the other side of the world that look different from us. But they share the same love for God's Word. They share the same love to live His life faithfully. Expose your children to this. Be consistent. Get them in people's homes. Your elders, your preachers, your deacons, those are godly spiritual giants in your children's eyes. When we were at Memphis School of Preaching, my little, he's 28 now, he's not little, but he was 3 years old, and he was around a lot of gospel preachers at lectureships, and he had this little bitty Bible, and he did this on his own. He took it around like an autograph book, and he would ask all the preachers that would preach to autograph it for him. I didn't even know he was doing it till he showed me. But those were his heroes. Those were the men he looked up to. Those are the ones he wanted to imitate. That's the heroes we need to have for our children. Not Swifties, you know, Taylor Swift. Okay. That's for hard for me to say. Ugh. Taylor Swift is a big thing among little girls, and it breaks my heart because she stands for everything that a Christian should be against. And it's hard. We need to step up as parents and show our children heroes of faith, heroes of sacrifice, the ultimate hero who gave his life. Those are the heroes our children need to be looking up to, imitating and loving and trying to live like. We need to be our own in our children's lives and be consistent with these things, not just once a year. They need to have this consistently through their whole lives as children, and I guarantee they will never forget it. Be that house. Be the house that everyone wants to come to. Everyone, their children love coming to your house. Be that house. Have your children's friends in that home. Make sure they know that the doors are always open. You're going to always encourage them. You're going to always feed them. It may be bought. It may be homemade. Who cares? When we lived in Tennessee, we had a huge youth group, and they always were at our house. It was nothing for on weekends to have 30 or 40 children, teenagers, in our house. And it was great. We lived out in the country. We had a go-kart. We played volleyball for 6 hours. We had water fights. I mean, they built good relationships with each other. Be that house that your child wants to bring their friends into, that is a safe place, that's a comfort, that they know that they can come to you as that parent. It's very important. It does two things. It brings your children home. You know what they're doing. You know who they're around and what they're not getting into. You know that. Number two, it also helps encourage other children, whether they're Christians or not, and they can see what it means to be a godly family, and you could hopefully teach them. We had a lot of kids throughout the years in our homes. It's our responsibility, our God-given responsibility, to protect our children. A lot of times say, you can't protect your children from the world. You better. You better protect them, because somebody's going to be teaching them things, and it better be you first, because usually first impressions make the most lasting impact. Now, you can't protect them forever, but you can protect and to train to fight against. You have to. The devil wants our children in every possible way. He's trying to gain access to them, and we have to be the safe place. Make your home always welcoming. Just for, not for kids, but for adults. Be that home that welcomes even adults that are hurting, that are needing encouragement. We've hosted families. I know all of y'all, I know a bunch of y'all probably hosted families. We had a family stay with us for about a year. It was a little married couple. Their home was destroyed, and they didn't have anywhere to go. And they actually lived with us for almost a year until they got on their feet. And, you know, you have to be consistent in the way you live. People see that. Your children see that. Hospitality, that is commanded in the Bible. We're supposed to be hospitable without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. When we have families over, do we complain and fuss about it? Are we excited to have them in our home? Our children see all these things. They see these things, our attitudes, and it makes a difference. Consistency in our daily life is essential in teaching our children. If we're not consistent, they're the first ones to figure it out, and they will call us out on it, and it will make them not want to be the Christian that they should be. We have to see through their eyes, are we living what we're teaching them? Are we being the standard that we're trying to teach them to be? We have to be, because they figure it out quicker than most adults. We also have to discipline our children. That's a dirty word or sometimes for people, but discipline is also commanded. We have to teach and train our children that there's consequences to actions. Nowadays, so many people do not take responsibility for what they have done, and it's causing a lot of trouble. Teach your children at a very young age what no means, what respect means, and that when you choose to do something wrong that goes against your rules and then ultimately God's rule, that there's consequences, that they have to learn that, because we want to get them to heaven. And if they don't learn that early, they won't know that there's consequences to their sin when they become accountability age. Anytime you discipline your children, don't discipline them out of anger or frustration, even though it's very easy to do. You've told them, you know, a couple of times or maybe a million, I don't know, and you're frustrated and you just want to spank their little bottom or down, whatever. Don't do that. Take a moment. Take a deep breath. Send them to their room. I've sent my kids to their room, I don't even know how many times. Sometimes to laugh at them. so they won't see me laugh, and then I can discipline them, or sometimes just to say a prayer and just say, okay, I need to do this in the right frame of mind. I need to do it with the right intention behind it to teach, not just to be, you know, spanking them. I know some people may not spank their children, but it's, you can spank them without beating them. There's a difference. Spanking involves teaching and training, sitting them down and saying, do you know why you got in trouble? Here's why. Here's what you need to do better. As a family of seven, these are all things that we implemented, and I asked several other women that I'm really good friends with, and they had very similar thoughts that work for them. Were we perfect? No. Did it always work? Yes and no. There's things that we tried that were just totally, just could trash it. But if you're consistent and you love your children and you're respectful and you do the best you can and apologize when you make mistakes, I've apologized to my kids, ask them for forgiveness. They see that you're trying to be human too, and that makes them easier to come to you. I'm going to finish up. The biggest blessing I can tell you as a parent is prayer. Pray every day. Pray before they're here. Pray while you're pregnant. Pray when they're little. I have prayed more since my kids have gotten out of the house than I ever have, because they're out. They're adults. They're making their own decision. It's hard. But you pray that you did what you could. You pray for God to watch over them. Raising children is an amazing adventure. It has its ups and downs, its heartaches, its wonderful times, but you do it. You sacrifice it because you are teaching a precious soul. It's not just certain times. It's a lifestyle. I'm going to end with one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's not talking about parenting, but it can be applicable. 3 John 4. I'm going to try to say this without crying. I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. There is no greater joy at the end of the day when you're walking through the gates of heaven and you're taking your children with you.